Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace, for Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Here's your chance. Alleluia! Early on the first day of the week, as we heard in the gospel, the Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were going to the tomb, and just as they got there, a great earthquake happened. I know that wasn't alleluia, that was an earthquake. I wonder, how many of you have been in an earthquake? Let's, for a show of hands, how many of you have experienced an earthquake? It's kind of what I thought. If you look around, there's actually less than a third, I think, of the congregation, of those gathered here who think that they have been through an earthquake. I, myself, thought that I had never experienced an earthquake until recently, as I was actually learning a little bit about earthquakes, reading about this. If you look, according to the United States Geological Survey, almost all of us have probably lived through an earthquake, through multiple earthquakes, and never even known it. The USGS has estimated that there are several million earthquakes around the world every year, most of them undetectable. Of those several million, only about 500,000 are detectable. And of those 500,000, only about 100,000 can be felt. And of those 100,000, only about 100 cause damage. Of course, the damage can be devastating. And it takes the global community to help restore life for those victims of earthquakes. But I find that first statistic amazing, that there are several million earthquakes all around the world every year. Earthquakes can strike fear. They can cause upheaval in routines. They can turn life upside down. And in that sense, the gospel writer, Matthew, says that if you have experienced the resurrection, you have lived through an earthquake. Now, I don't want to make light of those who have suffered the devastating effects of an earthquake. In fact, quite the opposite. What I want to do, and what I hope that you will understand, is that the resurrection of Jesus, that Easter, is an event that is a seismic shift. Creation quakes. Everything shakes. There is a cataclysmic upheaval that changes all of creation and our lives forever. Each of the four Gospels has a slightly different point of view on the resurrection of Jesus and how it affects people. But in Matthew's gospel account, there's no quiet, mysterious moment in the garden where Jesus' body is laid in the tomb. Instead, Matthew tells about this radical reversal of the created order. Matthew's gospel account rocks, literally. In fact, Matthew's gospel account actually tells of two earthquakes. One at Jesus' death, the other at his resurrection, two events in which God acts in a way that changes the world forever and sends shockwaves throughout time and history that are still felt today. I wonder why we kind of gloss over this earthquake in the gospel. Maybe it's because we fear that if we look at it historically, it might be proven wrong. Maybe it's because we can't make sense of it. I don't know. Matthew describes the first earthquake at Jesus' crucifixion. When Jesus dies, all hell breaks loose. The gospel says, "Then Jesus cried with a loud voice, and he breathed his last. And the earth shook. Rocks were split. The sky turned black. The curtain temple was torn from top to bottom. Tombs broke open, and even dead people were raised to life. And mighty soldiers of Caesar's army were terrified. That's what Matthew's gospel says about the crucifixion. Jesus was dead, and the earth shook. But as the page turns to the first day of creation, everything changes. As Mary Magdalene and the other Mary make their way to the tomb, they know how this story is going to end. Jesus is dead, and they're just going to the tomb to pay their last respects. They're not even expecting to be able to see him, because the tomb has been sealed and guards have been posted to watch to make sure that there is no funny business. But as they arrive at the tomb, there is suddenly this great earthquake, the second earthquake in Matthew's gospel. They arrive there to find the tomb empty and open, and an angel declaring, "He is not here, for he's been raised as he said." Honestly, I don't think Matthew is writing about earthquakes where the ground opens up, where roads are split into two and buildings are falling down. I think that Matthew writes about earthquakes at both Jesus' death and resurrection because of how God is turning the world upside down through those two events. As the women arrive at the tomb, there is an earthquake in the sense that their lives are turned upside down. The ground beneath their feet that they have learned to trust has been shaken. Their world has been rocked. Everything they used to think they knew is no longer. Their certainty is shaken, thrown out by the full force of God's suffering on the cross and God's love that brings light into the darkness and life even to death. Resurrection rocks our world. And sometimes we think we can celebrate resurrection and still have the world as it was yesterday. We think that we can come here on Easter Sunday and then tomorrow go about life just as we were the day before, because we're amazingly well adjusted to the old world, to the old ways of life, as broken as it might seem. But notice what the women's response was when they leave the tomb to tell the others that Jesus is alive. The gospel says they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell Jesus' disciples. They didn't just have joy, as I suppose most of us were expecting to have here today. They didn't leave with just joy. They had both fear and great joy. And it makes a lot of sense, I think, if you think about it. I don't want you to hear this fear in the way of as a kind of relationship that you should have with God, a relationship of fear. For God is a loving God, a God of mercy. You don't need to be afraid of God, but to be in awe of the God of resurrection. To be in awe of something that we just can't get our heads wrapped around to understand. Because resurrection doesn't simply return Jesus to the women there at the tomb. It upends their entire existence. Resurrection is both a terrifying and a wondrous thing. Resurrection breaks the rules and the laws of nature. Resurrection means that there are no limits, no boundaries that you can count on, no laws even that you can ultimately put your trust in. Because if there is one limit, if there is one boundary, if there is one law that we can all count on, it is death. Death is not an exception for any of us. And in all of our life, in all of our experience, the universe seems unwilling to give back what it took from us in death. Until now. Because when God raises Jesus from the dead, God does not simply restore life, but also creates once again, breaking the known laws of the universe, creating the possibility of life beyond the grave, creating new possibilities for life, for the possibility of things to happen that we wouldn't ordinarily trust before we met the God of the empty tomb, the God of resurrection, the God of Easter. Things that we wouldn't ordinarily expect before then. Like perhaps reconciliation between family members, even when one of them may not deserve it, and the earth shakes. Or you know those times when, I know those times when I manage to admit that I am wrong, or I just manage to admit, or I just have managed not to admit every time that I'm right. The earth shakes. We all have these experiences. Those times where you might, maybe you used to see something as a coincidence, a happenstance, but now you might see them as the work of God's Spirit, and the earth shakes. Those awkward attempts at forgiveness, whether given or received, and you're not quite sure, did I do that right? It doesn't feel right. Or every fresh start and every act of forgiveness and every act of letting go of what we thought that we couldn't live without, the foundations shake beneath us. The thing that you never saw coming, that you never even hoped for, but in the end it ends up being exactly what you needed at that time, and the earth shakes. Those times when you realize that you can never look at the world again, you'll never be able to look at relationships the same way again, or yourself the same way, and the earth shakes. Or those terrible times, those awful times when diseases or brokenness or hopelessness actually draw people together in the midst of some awful time, draw people together to show the power of life and the persistence of love. And in those times, the earth shakes. And finally, the greatest earthquake that you can't walk away from unchanged. When you hit upon that realization that while death is still an enemy, death is a very powerful enemy, the worst enemy, finally, it will not have the last word because Jesus rose from the grave and promises to go ahead of us, to bring us along through death and into life, and an earthquake that shakes the foundations of everything we know is felt. Now, a lot of these things, they seem like good things. They might even seem like great things, even. But sometimes they're unpredictable. And what's worse is that they expect these things of resurrection and new life. They expect, or maybe they even demand, that we will not go through them unchanged. Sometimes we don't want to change. It's hard. If you've ever had to forgive or accept forgiveness or admit that you're wrong, or worst of all, if you've lost a loved one and you are faced with the reality of your own mortality, you know how hard this earthquake is, how unpredictable, how devastating to our old ways of life. And so the women are afraid. They have no idea what to expect, no idea if there is anything left that they can count on. They have no idea what this God of life and renewal and redemption might do next. Their lives have been shaken. They leave the empty tomb with both fear and great joy. And maybe that's how we are called to approach the God of resurrection. Because we don't know how we will be changed. only that we will be changed. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid." And this is the best summary of the gospel that I think you'll ever hear. Do not be afraid. Do not live in fear. Do not be limited by others' expectations of you. Do not be limited by obstacles that others may put in your way. Do not let circumstances wither away your hopes. Do not give up. For new life is yours. New opportunities is yours. Resurrection is yours. Not just in the life to come, but now. Do not forget how much God loves you and to what extent God will go to show that love. Do not be afraid, even when your world has been shaken. The soldiers are afraid, so much that they shake, their lives are shaken, and they become like dead men. That is the response of one who can't seem to handle or accept the new creation that comes with resurrection. But the women, instead, they go out, they run out with fear and great joy. They run out quickly to share with others. They go, as we heard in the Kids in Christ time. It doesn't always look pretty, this resurrection life, because we still do have that both fear and great joy. We stand with one foot in a dying world and one foot in a resurrecting world, but every once in a while we get a glimpse of how God is drawing us into that resurrected world. And our lives are shaken. Creation quakes. Everything shakes. There is a cataclysmic upheaval that changes all of creation and our lives forever. Our world has been shaken. Our lives changed forever by the God of resurrection, the God of love, the God who promises to be with you even in your darkest moments. Do not be afraid. Have courage. Embrace God's gift of resurrection and new life and new opportunities for you now. Then ride the waves of that aftershock of this great earthquake into the world to share it. For in Jesus Christ, we all have a future, a hope, a peace, even in a crumbling and fallen world. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia! Thanks be to God. Amen.